Welcome back to the show. Today we're traveling to a country that defies easy categorization. A land of ancient traditions and futuristic cities. A vast desert and rice paddies of soaring mountains and bustling ports. We're exploring the People's Republic of China, the world's second most populous nation and the third largest country by land area. Geographically, China is studied in superlatives, with a landmass of approximately 9.6 million square kilometers. It stretches an astonishing 5,500 kilometers from the north to south and 5,200 kilometers from the east to west. To put that perspective, when the sun is rising over the eastern coast, it's still in the middle of the night in the far west. When northern China is blanketed in the snow, the south is already preparing for spring planting. I'm your host, Daniel Lucas, and today we are embarking on a geographical journey through China. We'll explore its famous three-step topography, from the roof of the world to the fertile coastal plains. We'll examine the rivers that have nurtured civilization for millennia, the climate zones that range from subarctic or subarctic to tropical, and human geography of this extraordinary diverse nation. Because despite what the headlines might suggest, China is not a monolith. It is the country of 56 official recognized ethnic groups, hundreds of languages and dialects, and the regions of distinct that they might as well as be different countries. So let's begin our exploration of these remarkable lands, starting where sits on the map. China is located on the East Asia, along the eastern shore of Pacific Ocean. Its shape on the map is often compared to a rooster, with its head in the northeast and its tail feathers sweeping westward toward Central Asia. The strategic position has made crossroads of civilization for thousands of years. The country shares land border with a remarkable 14 neighbors. To the north, it touches Mongolia and Russia. To the northeast, it borders North Korea. Its western frontiers include Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. To the south, the southwest lie India, Nepal, Bhutan, Myanmar, Laos, and Vietnam. That's more neighbors than almost any country on Earth. China's mainland coastline stretches approximately 18,000 kilometers along four seas. The Bohai, Yellow, East China, and South China Seas. The Bohai is China's inland sea, while the others are marginal seas of the vast Pacific Ocean. This coastline is dotted with excellent natural harbors, most of which remain ice-free year-round, making ideal for international trade that fueled China's economic rise. Offshore China remains more than 4,000 or 5,400 islands. The largest is Taiwan, with an area about 36,000 square kilometers, followed by Hainan at 34,000 square kilometers. The South China Sea alone contains thousands of smaller islands, islets, and reefs, many of which are subject of territorial disputes that make international headlines. But perhaps the most distinctive features of China's physical geography. Is it topography? Geologists describe China's terrain as three-step staircase descending gradually from west to east. This staircase-like structure was formed by the most important geological event of the past several million years, the collision of the Indian and the Eurasian tectonic plates. The top step of this staircase is the Huangkai Tibet Plateau, often called the roof of the world. Averaging for more than 4,000 meters above sea level, this vast region covers about quarter of China's land area. Here, the air is thin and the temperatures are cold, and the landscape is dominated by some of the highest mountains on Earth. Towering over this plateau is the Mount Komolangma, known in its west as Mount Everest, which soars to 8,848 meters in the border between China and Nepal. It is the world's highest peak, the ultimate symbol of the immense tectonic forces that shape this region. The second step of the staircase is described as the average elevation of 1,000 to 2,000 meters. This step includes the sprawling Inner Mongolia Plateau, the erosion-sculpted Luce Plateau, and the karst-studded Yumen Gansu Plateau. It also contains massive basins like Tsarim and Jinger into the northwest, and the fertile Siwan Basin in the southwest. The third step drops to elevation between 500 to 1,000 meters. This is the heartland of traditional China, a region of broad plains and rolling hills. From the north to the south stretch the Northeast Plain, the North China Plain, and the Middle Lower Yangtze Plain, some of the most productive agricultural on Earth. Finally, beyond the third step, the land extends underwater as a part of continent shelf, the fourth of the lowest step of the staircase. These coastal waters are generally less than 200 meters deep and teem with marine life, providing food and livelihood for millions of Chinese. China mountain ranges are equally impressive. The Himalayas form its southwestern rampart, while the Kunlun, Tian Shan, and Altai Mountains guard its western frontiers. The Qinling Mountains, running east-west across central China, serve as a crucial climatic and cultural dividing line between north and south. Speaking of which, let's talk about China's rivers. The country has more than 50,000 rivers with drainage areas exceeding 100 square kilometers. Among these, two stand out as the arteries of Chinese civilization, the Yangtze and the Yellow River. The Yangtze of Changjing is the longest river in China and all of Asia, and the third longest in the world after Amazon and the Nile. It allows more than 6,300 kilometers from the source of the Tibetan Plateau to its massive delta near Shanghai, draining the basin at home to hundreds of millions of people. The Yangtze River Basin is so economically productive that it's ranked as the third largest economy in the world, behind only the United States and China as a whole. Around 165 cities line its banks, including mega cities of Guangzhou, Wuhan, and Shanghai. This river is literally the lifeblood of the modern China. The Yellow River and the Wanghui is China's second largest and reverently called the Mother River of Chinese people. Its basin was the cradle of ancient Chinese civilization, where dynasty rose and fell thousands of years ago. But the river is also known as China's sorrow for its history, for devastating floods that have repeatedly reshaped landscape and claim countless lives. In addition to this giant, China boosted the Yalong Zambo River in Tibet, which is flows in the Indian Oceans, and the Irtysh River in the far northwest, which eventually reaches the Arctic Ocean. These rivers, along with the countless smaller streams, drain the country's extraordinary hydrological diversity. China's lakes are equally notable. The largest is Kwangye Lake, a beautiful saltwater lake in the northwest that serves as a critical stopover for migratory birds. In the east, freshwater lakes like Poyang, Dongting, and Taihu dominate the Yangtze floodplain, providing flood water and flood control, irrigation, and transportation. Now let's turn to climate. Given a vast size stretching from the latitude of Cuba into the south of the Siberian in the north, China experiences almost every climate type on Earth. The south has tropical climate with hot, humid, and warm summers. The west mountains are arid with extreme temperature swings. Dividing between the north and south is often drawn along Tinglin Mountains and the Huai River. North of this line, winters are cold and dry, and wheat is a staple crop. South of it, winters are milder, summers are wetter, and rice paddies dominate the landscape. This simple line explains much about China's cultural culinary regionalism. China's climate is also shaped by the monsoon, second winds from the agriculture, but also capable of causing devastating floods. Meanwhile, the west remains dry, shielded by mountains and black moisture-laden clouds. And the climate diversity creates a wide range of natural hazards. China experiences earthquakes, typhoons, floods, drought, sandstorm, landslide, and forest fires itself. The country's long history is a part of history of a human resilience in the face of these recurring natural challenges. Now let's move to human geography. China is the world's second most populous country with approximately 1.4 billion people. That's about 18% of the entire human population, living on just 7% of the world's arable land. The population is strictly and evenly distributed. An imaginary line called the Health Tanjong Line divides China into halves. East of this line, on this just 40% of the land, live 94% of the people. West of it, at 50% on the land, just give 6%. This stark divide has persisted for century and show little sign of changing. About 65% of Chinese are now live in the cities, a dramatic shift from just a few decades ago. Mega cities like Beijing, the capital with over 21 million people, and Shanghai, the financial hub with even more, dominated the urban landscape. Chongqing, technically a municipality the size of a small country, has over 30 million residents. But China cities are not just large, they are also incredibly dynamic. The coastal province of Jiangsu and Guangdong have economies larger than many countries. Shenzhen is a village just 40 years ago, is now a global technology hub. This urban transformation is one of the most remarkable stories of human history. Yet rural China tells us a different story. Hundreds of millions of people still live in the countryside, many of them farmers working small plots of land, with only about 13% of China's land suitable for cultivation. Every acre is precious. Rice, wheat, corn, tea, cotton, and vegetables are grown with painstaking care. China's ethnic diversity is another crucial dimension. The government officially recognizes 56 ethnic groups. The Han Dynasty are by far the largest, accounting for about 92% of the population. But the others, 55 groups, drew smaller in numbers, occupy vast territories, particularly in borderlines. In the next west, or in the west, the Xinjiang Autonomous Region is a home of the Uyghurs, or the Turkic, speaking Muslim people with the cultural ties to Central Asia. Tibet is the home to Tibetans, and whose Buddhist culture and language are distinct from the Han mainstream. Inner Mongolia is the home of Mongolians, many of whom still practice traditional nomadic herding. In the south, Yunnan province also contains 25 majority tribes, including the Bai, Hani, Dai, and Lisu, each of their own language and custom. The Zhuang Zhenter in Zhuangzi, are the largest minority group of their own indigenous religion called Mo. Linguistic diversity matches the ethnic variety. While Mandarin became the official language in 1911, staggering 400 million people, about 30% of the language, like Cantonese, Hakka, Wu, or Min, entirely non-Chinese language like Tibetan, Uyghur, or Mongolian. This linguistic diversity is a part of bridge by the written language. Chinese character, while pronounced differently in different regions, carry the same meaning everywhere. Calligraphy is the art of beautiful writing, has been practiced for early 2,000 years and remains revered art from the unite the country. China administrative structures affect vastness and adversity. The country is divided into 23 provinces, 5 autonomous regions, 4 directly controlled municipalities, and 2 special administrative regions, Hong Kong and Macau. Hong Kong and Macau deserve special mention, former British and Portuguese colonies respectively. They were returned to China in 1997 and 1999, but operate under their own legal economic systems. Hong Kong remains a global financial hub, and Macau is the world's gambling capital. They are gateway between China and the world. Finally, we must acknowledge the geopolitical context. China's geography includes Taiwan, an island off the southeastern coast of has been governed independently since 1949. Beijing considered Taiwan as a breakaway province and has vowed to unify it in the mainland. This issue, along with the maritime dispute in South China Sea, shaped China's relations with its neighbors and with the United States. But whether the political headlines, geography, or geographical reality is clear, China is not one place, but many. It is a land where the world's highest mountains meet the world's most dynamic city, and where ancient tradition coexists with the futuristic technology, and where dozens of cultures and languages creates a tapestry of breathtaking complexity. from the frozen heights of Tibet and the steamy rice paddies of Guangdong, from the desert of Jiangxing to the skyscrapers of Shanghai, China is the country of a staggering geographical diversity of human vitality. It's a place where past and the future collide, where every river tells a story, and where sheer scale of everything. The population and cities and the ambition can be difficult for outsider and compared. Thank you for joining me on this journey. And thank you again, the geography of China. Next time we explore another corner of fascinating world. Until next time, keep exploring, and more time, people. See you soon.